Welcome to episode 111 of Photography Insights, everybody, the show that interviews people in the photography world. Before I move you on to our guest, I'd like to remind you all about one of the friends of our show, and that is Pete at Static Age. He's got another zine released by Sebastian Screwers. Apologise if I get that name wrong, Sebastian. It's called Urban Immobility, and it looks really interesting. Also, Pete has previewed some images on Instagram for a future zine that features Pete and myself. Yes, at long last, my first zine. But it's still very early days, and we're hoping for a spring 2021 release. So do keep listening for updates. And if you haven't seen already, I wrote an article about the first lockdown and photography with my children, which has been published on the Silver Grain website. Link are in the show notes for you all. Today we are embraced in the world as we interview someone who came from Kenya but is now living and working in the Big Apple, New York City. Polly Orungu is a lovely lady who's trying to help others. She's described as a multimedia journalist, digital editor, and photographer who is responsible for 2 million listeners and social media content too. More importantly, she's the founder of Black Women Photographers, a community and online database of black women photographers. It's been really nice to talk to people from different communities and try and give them a platform to discuss their work. There is no better merit than helping another person shine, and that's Polly through and through. As we discuss the world of competing with a white-dominated world, Polly talks about why change is important. And she's got some lovely accolades too, so do listen out for them. So in this one we talk about creating a photographer's database, getting past the first black person events, coping with job rejections, the Times Square and NASDAQ, moving to America, languages and schools, unlocking doors for others, street photography, what's next for social media, and returning to Kenya. So I hope you do enjoy this one. Let's await our guest, the lovely Polly. And welcome to the show, Polly.
Hi, thank you for having me.
No problem. Thank you for joining us. I appreciate it took a couple of weeks, I thank you for that.
Yes, I'm so glad we finally connected.
There's been lots going on, obviously. We've had a little talk about COVID, and we've talked about that with guests in the past, and it's just nice to hear that you're safe where you are.
Yes, staying inside. If I am going outside, I'm wearing my mask, just trying to be as safe as possible for myself and also those who I live at home with.
Yeah, no, I understand and respect that. Because obviously with you being working in New York, it's quite a scary thing. There's a lot of people there. You can all be close together. So.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a very big thing. But I don't want to dwell too much on things like that. There's no we can do about any of that. So all we've got to do is look forward, really, to positive things for the future. Now, obviously, one of the reasons I picked you out was this whole thing about black women photographers. I think it's a lovely thing that you're trying to do.
Thank you.
No, not a problem.
Very excited about it.
So how long have you been doing this?
Since July, officially. Wow. But I launched a COVID-19 relief fund in June of this year. So now it's been several months, but it's still my new baby, I feel like. By day I work on New York Public Radio, but any other time outside of that, I'm like building this community and this directory of Black women photographers. It does take a lot of time, and it's really, trying to do the balancing act of it all because I work a full-time job and then this and other things. But really, it has been worth it, and I'm just really excited about what's to come because it's only been a few short months, and I've already done so much with it, and so I'm looking forward to doing more, hopefully.
Wow, that's really good. Do you want to tell our lovely listeners why you started this? Because I think it's quite interesting.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's I graduated from university 3 years ago. And when I graduated, I was just trying to figure out how to navigate this industry of photography and journalism. And both industries are very white male dominated, and it's really hard navigating these waters alone. You can try, but then you're gonna learn the hard way. I've been having conversations with others, and they felt the same way too. The folks here in the States and folks back home and internationally as well, they all felt the same. And so, when they say like, if you don't have a seat at the table, build one. And so I guess I'm building this table, and I'm trying to bring as many people, Black women, with me, in a sense, because, there's just so many aspects within the world of photography that you won't learn unless you learn the hard way, and it shouldn't have to be that way. So for me, it's just really just trying to make it easier for others, have that community and that support. Again, sometimes it's just nice to have someone to listen, someone who understands, someone, who has been in the same boats or will be. And so really just having that community aspect, and that feeling that, we can all make it, we can, all like, make it to the top or whatever, in a sense, because for so long we've been told that, there's not enough, room for everyone. And so long people have felt that only one person can make it to the top. But there's so much, money out there for all of us. And so once we recognize that, and fortunately this community, in my opinion, has, because I've seen how collaborative, how genuine, and like, supportive everyone has been with each other. And it's really just a beautiful thing to witness. And now I'm starting to see, other people, other folks in the industry who actually have capabilities to hire to actually use, the website blackwomenphotographers.com as a resource. And I'm very excited. I'm very excited to see, where it can go from here.
No, that's really good. No, yeah, it's interesting because it, like you say, it's such a short time. Now, I don't know whether that's indicative of the period we're in, where females are getting more attention. Because there's been a few people that have spoke to me about this sort of thing where it has been well white male dominated for years, hasn't it? We can't get around that. That's history now. But do you think this is because of like exclusion or the fact people like myself were more in the jobs and the limelight than say Black counterpart or a female, and then a Black female. What do you think it is?
I think there's, I don't know, I feel like that's a good question, and there's a lot of factors at play. I mean, like you said, it's been systematically like this for so long, and to change the status quo takes a group effort. When they say it's like a group project and only one person's doing their part, and then you're like, well, come on, come on, everybody else. That's how it feels sometimes. It's like, these are conversations we've been having for so long. But then it's like that group project where it will literally take everyone to do their part to make this a reality, to make sure that we can move past conversations, that those conversations can actually turn into some sort of action. Because, it shouldn't be a trend. It shouldn't be just because of these conversations or what's been happening in the news cycle or things like that. it should be something that everyone's consciously trying to, you know, do better every single day. You know, anytime you're hiring, it should be something that you're consciously thinking about, like all the time. And so for me, it's like, you know, like we are personally thinking about it often because we're the ones, you know, waiting for that assignment or things like that, those opportunities. But if everyone else can, you know, in a sense, do their part in this group project, then, you know, we will actually get somewhere. And that way, you know, here in the States, for example, like we're having a lot of firsts, like a lot of firsts, you know, with these magazines and these outlets, like Vanity Fair just hired their first Black photographer.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, it's 2020, right? And so if institutions are still doing their firsts,
yeah,
you know, shocking. Like, how long are we gonna break that cycle? Like, when do we get past these firsts and actually have it for something that we are practicing every single day, rather than once in a blue moon, once in a cover kind of deal, right? And so I think when we all understand that, because, you know, the folks who are living it every day already understand that, so when we all understand, then we can get past, you know, get somewhere, honestly. That way it doesn't feel like it's just, oh, we're waiting for that cover, for we can have hire a Black photographer, you know. That's just how I feel personally.
Yeah, no, there's some good, really nice thoughts in there. You see, it makes me wonder if it's partly a generational thing where we've been blinded, in essence, by not opening our eyes and thinking about those around us. And Mr. Prello at Candy Frame did this for me. I've talked about this once before, where when I interviewed him, he was talking about the broad spectrum of people he's interviewed. You know, he's done 500 shows. You know, he's done it longer than anyone. Absolute legend. And he was saying, I think what you could do, Andy, is think about purposely who you're going to bring on the show. So that made me think about it and do my research a bit more. And it's... it has, it's changed me. So it's not a case of, like you're saying, oh, you're my first Black guest, because, you know, that's rubbish. I'm thinking of, does this subject interest me? That's got to be the first thing. Like with photography, it's the image that counts, isn't it? But if you can add more thing to this, and include someone whose maybe work isn't as known as everyone else, that's a fabulous thing.
Yeah, it is. And honestly, it's not because of the lack of talent or anything like that. It's just really just trying to make sure that, you know, with this platform, I'm really just trying to create that visibility and connect those dots, because there's a gap, a big gap. And, you know, so often, you know, editors or whoever, they just go with their go-to list, and their go-to list might be the same five photographers they always use. But it's like, when are you going to change it up? And when are you going to do your research and find others that may be interesting, that may be producing even better work than your Rolodex of five folks or whoever it may be? And you know provide those different opportunities for others, right? And so that's just what I'm trying to do, and that's what's been working so far. It's really just connecting any dots that I can wherever it may be. Unfortunately, people, you know, the message is getting across. I mean, here I am talking to you internationally, right?
Yeah, like, exactly. You know,
the message is getting, it's spreading, and so I'm very excited. Yeah.
No, and I take it responsibly that it's our job to try and help, because, you know, what else can we do? Like say we're in a different continent, so the best thing we can do is give you a platform to speak, isn't it?
Right.
And to me, that's a little thing we can do for free. And it helps everyone, because helping people is great for you.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, I don't know, it's just a a feeling like you get joy from it, honestly. And these days you have to find joy wherever you can, because it's hard to find joy in these moments. And so, I mean, I personally get joy from doing this. You know, it's my labor of love.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I'm the same. There's nothing better to me if I'm working with a mate shooting photography, and if he teaches me something or I teach him something, and you're just like, this is what it's all about. And then, some of us are able to write, some of us are able to draw, some of us are able to take photographs, and some of us are able to talk. So use whatever medium you can into
Yes, exactly.
it. I mean, you're cheating because obviously you could do photography, you could do radio, you've got your podcast. I mean, you've got everything.
And I write too.
Oh,
Yes, I write, I take photos, I do social media. I guess I'm a good talker sometimes. Yeah, you know, I mean, I think it's just because really it's been ingrained in us that you have to be a jack of all trades, da 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 da. Like, you
yeah.
have to know more than one thing. And so many of us, like, you know, we really had to know more than one thing to even get the same opportunity to really even stand out in a sense. But now it's like, okay, once you learn multiple skills, like, what are you actually really good at, right? And so really now it's just me, it's like I'm just trying to hone in and sharpen some of the skills under my tool belt, for that way it's not just being a jack of all trades for the sake of it, but actually being really good at X, Y, and Z. You know, it's just how I'm trying to approach my work now.
No, I get you. I mean, I think there's plenty of people in life that have to really work hard. I worked in the same industry for 20 years, for instance, right? And I wanted to go into IT. I could not get work despite a little bit of experience. I had to go to uni at age 35, and then I started applying for jobs. I'm not lying, I probably applied for 100 jobs, and I think I went for something like six or eight interviews before I was finally given a chance. And now it's easier, because it's now a case of I'm in the industry, I've done that hard work, I did everything to get there, and now I can walk away from jobs if I don't want them.
Yeah, and I think that's a true testimony to like how broken the industry is. Like, it shouldn't take someone over 100 applications, and maybe 5 interviews, and then you don't even hear from the other 95. They just don't tell you anything. You know, it shouldn't take all of that, because not everyone personally has the mental strength to hear 95 plus rejections. You know, like I know for me it takes a toll sometimes when I to do that. I mean, like, even when I was in my undergrad at my university, like, I applied for so many photo internships, didn't get a single photo internship. All the photography experience I've had is just on my own. And you know, it's just a reflection of this industry. Like, you can try and try and try, but really it's hard. And so to me, it's just a broken system. And I don't know what's going to take to rebuild it, honestly. But you know, fortunately now it's a little easier with like the use of social media. So if you don't get whatever job, you can still find a way to make it and sense, or at least get your work out there with social media. But still, like, I have a lot of friends who are freelancers, and not because it's not, and it's not by choice, right? It's just a reflection of this industry where they just have to find a way to make it. Honestly.
Yeah, so it truly is a difficult industry, probably worldwide then, isn't it? Because we're talking to people all over, aren't we? Both of us.
Yep,
Yeah.
exactly.
Yeah, it's tough what you hear people talk about. I know it's not the same for everybody. I know some people who work for some of them big press companies, and the work's there. And some people are working for unis, and they've barely not suffered. But as we were talking earlier, you know, I've got closer friends that everything's hitting hard because of COVID. So, you know, you've got the usual business that's already tough and competition, and now you've got this. I mean, you know, it's so hard for everybody. And like you said, the mental side of coping, wow.
I mean, and it's honestly like, I don't even know. I feel like this year has really just took a toll on everyone, like every single body, like to, you know, and I think everyone just is tired and everyone deserves a month off. I wish we could all take a month off in December trying to like deal with what we just experienced in 2020. Like, I have no idea what we just experienced. So I don't know. It really is tough. Like, you know, I'm gonna at least take 1 week off. Fortunately, I have that privilege to take a week off from work. Because, man, I don't know. I'm tired. You know, it's just mentally draining. And so hopefully, you know, we can have a better start to the new year.
I hope so, yeah. Mine's gone up and down because of working in IT. It's been extremely busy all the way through. I needed time off because I was so tired. Work's turned into longer working hours, certain times, and all the pressure of work got to you. Because the work was still there, the same amount was work there, but there was less people to do the job.
Oh man, I can only imagine.
It's been a hard one, and then obviously part of the year we've had children at home with us. We've had the added worry of my wife's profession, so that there's so much stress, and I'm just one person. You know, I've had it, you know, completely easy compared to some people. So yeah, 2021. Let's all hope. That's all we can do in it, probably. What I found really interesting was I was watching a little bit of video about you, and it said you had a picture on Times Square. I mean, that's amazing.
Thank you. Yes, one of my highlights of this year, and probably my life, to be honest. Until I get another one. Until I do that again, it's gonna be one of them. NASDAQ was doing this campaign over the summer called Amplifying Black Voices. And so fortunately, I was one of those people that, you know, one of the Black voices they selected to have their work on their billboard, their tower in New York in Times Square. And it was just such an incredible feeling, because so the first time it went up with it was in a rotation with the other artists, and I wasn't able to see it in person. But then in October, the BBC reached out to me, and I'm like, oh my God, the BBC. Like, I looked up the person's email, and then like searched it on LinkedIn, and you know, because I wanted to verify that this was real. Like,
I see what you mean, yeah.
I was shocked that they were reaching out to me, and they wanted to interview me because they saw the NASDAQ thing, and so they just wanted to learn more about my experience and what's it like being a Black woman photographer in the US, and also because of my background, because I'm Kenyan. And so I was able to go see it in person in October, and I actually cried seeing my work there. And so it was really a joyous feeling. So yeah.
I can't imagine that. That must be wonderful. I've been there as well. So it's a, you know, it's lights and everything everywhere, and it is.
I know. I was able to. I brought one of my friends. It's also Canyon, and we're just like screaming our heads off, and the vendors who are like selling items on the next to us were like counting down with us because we were counting down the time until it appeared on the screen. And so, yeah, it was such a great day for real.
That's truly amazing. You know, congratulations, Polly, because that's, like you say, I don't think you'll ever forget that.
No, I really don't think I will. And I made a lot of social media posts, so I can always find them and remember that day. Yeah, because, I mean, it's just, I think it's a testament of, like, I guess the possibilities, and not to be so cliche, but, you know, I don't want to say the American dream, but I guess in a sense it feels like it. Because, you know, I'm from Nairobi, Kenya. We moved to the States when I was about 4 years old. And, you know, when I moved here to the States, like, I had, like, no language. I was mixing my tribal language with Swahili, with English. And so only my mom and my sister could understand me, and I had to take speech classes. And really, like, you know, school was not my favorite thing. So I really only went to college to make my parents happy. But then I started, you know, I studied something outside of, like, a doctor, an engineer, and lawyer, so they weren't too happy until they realized that, okay, she's actually doing good at this, and, you know. And, you know, so it's just all these different things. And even just, like, when I moved around, you know, I fell into depression at one point, and so that's when I actually picked up my camera. And so really just doing all of that stuff, like, going through all of that to then, you know, see my work up on this, the biggest screen that it can be, in a sense, really just, I guess, you know, shows, you know, really doesn't matter where you start to really, you know, end up where you can be, in a sense, right? When they say, like, it doesn't matter where you come from, because you can go anywhere, in a sense, like, that's just, like, how I felt, because I was just like, wow, like, you know, my parents came here with nothing. They came to America with literally nothing. And for me, you know, to have that achievement, I don't know, it just, it's symbolic in a way. And so, I don't know, I'm really thankful, and I really hope it happens again soon. And I really hope, I really hope I can actually have other people in within the Black women photographers community get the same kind of opportunities, because it's just an incredible feeling. And so that's, like, the kind of joy, like, I hold on to in these moments. Like, if I ever feel down, I just, like, look at those photos, and I just, like, okay, keep going, Polly, keep going, you can do this. Yeah. You know, it's just, like, how I remember that, okay, this is all the work that you're putting into, you know, doesn't go unnoticed. And so, like, it's just another reminder for me, in a sense, to keep pushing.
Definitely. No, it's an amazing story. And that's why I think it's important to add that context to who you are. Because, yes, you are somebody, but you've got this background as well. And I think that's probably what's making you strive forward, to be honest.
Yeah, honestly, it really is, because, you know, when I think about all the things, like, my parents had to sacrifice, especially my mom, it's just like, in a sense, I feel like I have no excuse. So I just really have to find a way, because they came here with literally nothing. So it really does, you know, when you figure out what your why is and your purpose, and when you just, like, stay grounded in that, you know, it helps you to remember, you know, and to help you to keep going. And especially when you have, like, those, like, humble beginnings, in a way, it really helps you to keep striving, honestly.
No, I'll tell you right. The other interesting thing I thought about this Times Square thing is the thing you were saying. So I think all the listeners need to think about this is, you wanted to, you were thinking, how can you get other people up on there? And I think that's a wonderful thing. It isn't, what am I going to do to get back up there? It's, how do I help others? And I think that's testament to who you are.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, I say that because, I mean, really, like, you know, when they interviewed me, it was like 7 a.m. Literally, that's just, like, how I felt. Like, that's genuinely how I am.
Yeah.
And Honestly, it's because, like, I know if I saw that representation, if I saw, others up on the big screen much, earlier on in my journey, then, oh my goodness, it would have meant so much. It would have just made me feel like, okay, I can actually do this. I can actually achieve this. And so for me, it's like, it's great to have my work there, but I know we have a lot of work to do in order to get others up there. So that way it doesn't feel like such an anomaly. That way it feels like this can happen and not just like because of one campaign, that this can actually happen to anyone, anytime, right? Outside of any campaigns. Like this should be, something that everyone I hope, gets to experience. And so for me, it's just like, okay, what can I do, to try to make it happen for others, because when you unlock one door, I mean, honestly, you can unlock so many more. And so that's just what I'm trying to do in a way.
Yeah, I think it's great, and you're totally right. It's making that initial step now. Even me doing this gives a platform for a lot of people that
Exactly.
have maybe never done any of this. And I think 2 weeks ago, I interviewed a guy. He's currently living in Romania, but he's from Venezuela. Traveled all over, never been on a podcast, never done anything like this. And they're really nervous, and it's like, well, you do good work. Why wouldn't I want to talk about your work?
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, and I think it's great. And we've had a few examples where people have gone on and got noticed by other people as well. And they've messaged me and that. And I think that's really nice as well. So we just do what we can, don't we?
That's all we can do.
Yeah.
What we can, one day at a time, honestly. Otherwise, we might lose our minds.
God, yeah, that's definitely true. I mean, I love it when friends and that message and say, I don't know, I've had my picture in a local paper, and you're just like, well, that's fantastic, because
That's
yeah, it
beautiful.
got you feeling happy. So what else do you need? Yeah, it'd be wonderful if everyone got paid for everything, but again, that world is not here now. We left that probably 20, 30 years ago, unfortunately. Yeah. And I think that's another reason why we have to be different, and we have to do things like this, and like what you're saying about bringing the Black Woman street photographer thing out as well. What's your way of really getting the message out there then? What do you think your main thing is?
Honestly, it's really just been, word of mouth and social media.
Okay.
I don't have a budget. I haven't used money on marketing or anything like that. It's really just been word of mouth. Platforms like this. It's been wonderful just to see it grow organically.
That's really good then, isn't it? It just shows then there is some merit in word of mouth after all these years.
Yeah, it's so underrated. So underrated, but exactly.
Do you think some of this though is from your experience of your day job?
That's a good question. I mean, maybe because I have that platform as well. I'm not saying it doesn't help. I think it does. But really, it comes down to just like the community, everyone within the photo world who cares and generally, wants to see it change, has been, spreading the word, on their own, Probably people I don't even know have been doing it, So it's, for me, it's just like that, all of that helps, every tweet, every Instagram post, every retweet, whatever the case may be, every single email, it all just adds up, in a way. And so that to me, it's just like what's been helping like the momentum continue.
Yeah, and it's a very good car, so that's great. Do you so what sort of things are involved in, because obviously you manage social media, don't you, in your day job? So what sort of things are involved in that then?
It's been a lot of, like editorial, just like finding new stories
Okay.
that we should cover, getting the content on published and then onto social media. And the election just passed, but we're thinking of like all our post-election coverage and inauguration coverage and just big ticket items that have been happening and issues like immigration, things like that. It's just like what my day looks like.
Yeah, there's quite a lot at the minute, let's face
Yeah, there's a lot of items, exactly.
it.
We don't have a shortage of stories, we really don't.
Not in 2020, oh my God. You must be like shrinking your list because it's too much.
Oh my goodness, there's so much, and so it can be so like overwhelming, and also just like, I don't know, like defeating when you feel like when you just are just like, oh my God, and so for me, really finding a way to unplug and not get buried in the news, especially when all the news is so grim,
Yeah.
like with COVID, and you see the cases just keep increasing, and so and when there those are increasing, so it's the death count, and those are real people, like it's not just a number, those are real people with loved ones, and so it really can be so grim, so just trying to find a way to balance that work and then and trying to switch it off when I'm not on work, that way I can just like focus on building a Black Women Photographers platform, but also just resting and finding like those, like I said, little pockets of joy where I can.
No, bless you. That's good. I think it must give you useful places to put out things about Black photographers because of your day job. I mean, what do you think then is the most useful way? So let's say we've got someone over here in the UK wanting to do the same thing and promote it. What advice would you give them?
Really just use, think about what's around you and who you may know that may be interested. Whether it's just, making a social media post, sending an email, or if you have a podcast or know a podcast, or if you have a newsletter, all of those are like free ways to support, the work, that is being done currently.
Yeah. No, that's cool. Because I think it's very easy to get lost online amongst the 3 million other posts that go up every second, and
Right. There's a lot of exactly. There's so much noise, and someone who actually sees all the noise because of my work with, social, it's just so much noise. And so for me, it's just again trying to find a way to cut through that noise and to have people who are interested, and even in the midst of all the things that are going on and all the things that can be, taking people's heads elsewhere, people are still finding this community, and still, spreading the word. And so really, I mean, yeah, like I said, like, if you're able to post online, if you're able to just tell a friend or family member, if you know someone that identifies and you think they would want to be in the database in the community, feel free to reach out to me. Because all of it, truly actually makes a difference, honestly.
No, it does. Yeah, no, that's really good. I mean, why street photography then? There's all these other genres.
Yeah, for me, honestly, like I enjoy capturing what's around me. I enjoy people. And being in New York, there's so many opportunities for that kind of work, and that just day-to-day life. Pre-pandemic, I did a lot of concerts and fashion, and just portrait work. Now, it's up in the air kind of sense, but I enjoy it. I really enjoy street. I enjoy portraits. I enjoy, any time to really just get to know someone and do some. Some storytelling. That's the kind of work I enjoy.
What's your favorite sort of street photography then? Is it candid? Is it shadow silhouettes? Is it street portraiture?
Yeah, I like candid. I love candid work. I love the portraiture work as well. I think those are like the main two.
Yeah. Do you like the Bruce Gilden type thing as well? In your face? Or are you more of a distant person?
No, I mean, well, I guess it's different now, but yeah, beforehand, I love getting to know people. I love going up close and personal. I think it's fun, and it's really, you challenge yourself as a photographer, when you do that type of work, when you go, outside of your comfort zone, when you introduce someone and introduce yourself to someone and really get a chance to, in like, I don't know, 5 seconds, get to know them and take their photo. I think it's great. But now you don't really do much of that anymore, but
I wonder
I don't know.
why.
It's interesting to see how all these different fields will change because, yeah.
You'd have to walk around in a full bio suit or something.
I'm telling you, I don't even know what people are doing.
It'd be crazy now. I think it's a nice part of street work is to forget about barriers between what is candid and what isn't. I think it's you do whatever you like. And one lady I really love, I've known her quite a while now, is she's called Dominique, from New York, and she finds such interesting characters. She's out as many hours as she can in a day. She's got a son, so she's got a young person to care for, but she just seems to rattle out some lovely photos every single day, and I'm always amazed about New York.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm so overwhelmed by people like this. We met through another friend of hers who would literally go out to 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. She would stay out maybe 6 hours or something, just shooting straight.
Oh, wow.
I know, yeah. You see, I think for a few people like that, it's like photography is like a drug. We have to do it. So, there's times where, like you say, it might be more like a therapeutic thing.
Yeah, honestly, it really is because it's not because of the money. There's other things we could be doing if we really cared about earning, a lot of money. It really is therapeutic. It is. I don't know. I guess it's, I just find the joy in getting to know others, telling their stories. The joy of just challenging yourself and being in different environments. All of it, I guess, for me is just why I continue doing it.
Yeah, I love it. I was really drawn to street photography not long after starting photography, and I did a little bit of it. But now I see a few people in the UK just absolute fabulous work with like shadows and silhouettes now. So my interests change all the time.
Exactly.
I think that's part of doing this sort of role. You come across so many people. So one week I might be talking to someone who's doing dark room prints, and the next person could be a wedding photographer or in Hollywood, and But I do enjoy the opportunity of talking to people like yourself, because it's the things you're doing are much more important than just taking a picture of a model, for instance.
That matters too, but
Yes, it does, yeah.
it really is the whole package, I guess, all of it that makes a meaningful work.
I mean, I personally think street photography is an important thing. in history.
Yes.
Because not everyone's going to be a documentary photographer because they won't know they are unless they're out on the streets doing work. So I think the other element there is whoever's taking it, it often tells us about them as well. So seeing photography from other people's points of views, whether it's race, religion, gender, or whatever, I still think everything helps, doesn't it?
It does. It does.
Because I think if you look at things like Instagram and certain Facebook groups, if a man's posting a photo, it's going to be a female. I don't know. I don't know if it's something twined in us or what. And I sit there scrolling through Instagram, and I'm doing this daily thing now where I post someone else's photo just to give them a nice thing. So it's a random photo every single day. And I'll be scrolling through Instagram and I'm like, oh, yeah, she's very pretty. That's very nice. And it's like, well, where's all the blokes? Where's all the other things that are important in life? And,
Right.
I have to force myself sometimes. So I'm as bad as everybody. I know that. But then, I think that's part of it is we have to learn and try and adapt our ways.
Exactly.
I'm getting there,
Day at a time.
Yeah, well, I think it's harder. I don't know if it's because we've done these things for so many years. So sometimes you slip a little bit. And it's like sometimes we've worked with a lot of models. And of course, how many models do you think are female?
Oh, yeah.
Probably 90%. Or, it's very high. And, especially when we're doing like we all do free stuff for each other, you say. So I think we only know four or five male models, you say. So it's not because we don't want to shoot, it's because there are none, basically. But hopefully that'll change anyway in time.
Hopefully.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice when I come across other people's work, and I'm reaching out to people all the time now. I'm trying to consider all situations now. So one of the things I wanted to ask you was, because you've lived in different countries, do you think that has changed you in any way then?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's helped me have a better understanding of, people and in this world. I think it's important to have that cultural just like competency, and for me I have that because one, I've just tried to learn others. One, I try to I think especially in the States there's a lack of empathy and an empathy gap, and so for me it's just okay. When you understand other people's, when they say walk a mile in their shoes, or just, when you try to understand where people are coming from, it just makes you a better, well-rounded person, in my opinion. And so living in different, areas helps with that because you're just coming across so many different people and you naturally just have that understanding because of who you're around. And so for me, yeah, I think it definitely does help. I've lived in very diverse areas and very not so diverse areas. All of that played, a pivotal role in shaping who I am and the work I do. So, yeah.
No, that's cool. When did you decide to start photography though with all this?
Was after like my, I want to say sophomore year in high school. It's when I like joined yearbook, but it wasn't really until junior year of high school, I feel like, that I was really, actually practicing on my own. And then in college is when I felt like I could actually start charging people.
Wow, so that's pretty good. So that's like late teens. Yeah. Wow, that's good.
And then been taking it one day at a time.
No, that's cool, yeah. I think you've got to do that. You see, it's, I think it's a good age to learn, to be honest. For me, it's been hard because I didn't start photography till I was 40, you see. So people just assume I've done it for years because I'm older, but I'm just as new as many people. So you've been shooting longer than me, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, really, honestly, it really is just like one of those things that it's like I don't even know when do I even classify that I started, you know? Because it's like when I was playing around with it as a hobby, or when I was just learning on my own, or when I actually got my first paycheck. Does that make me a photographer? You know, it's just like, you know, all those questions. I have no idea. But yeah. I mean, again, it's one of those fields that you just keep doing it daily, and you feel like you'll get better with every photo you take, honestly. So, yeah.
No, that's really good. It's a nice thing to be. And you've got to look forward, haven't you? I mean, obviously you've gone across all these different mediums now with radio, writing, podcasts, and social media. What do you think's next then?
Oh, that hard question. Honestly, it's so hard to think of what's next in the time like this when going to know what next month will bring. Literally, so I don't know. Like for me, as long as I'm, you know, telling stories and, you know, taking photos and making some sort of difference and building this community that's definitely making a difference already, you know, in Black women's lives. And that for me is just what I always want to continuously doing, no matter when, what the year, like what, no matter what day of the year. That's just all I know I want to be doing. And you know, eventually I want to, you know, go back to Nairobi, and build, you know, either build my own studio, have my own studio, or just some kind of like learning course where, you know, just giving those resources for, you know, young Africans can actually tell their own stories. You know, because it's not because they're not capable, it's just the lack of access and tools and resources sometimes. And so, you know, giving them whatever they need to tell their own stories is one thing I know I want to do. But I don't know if that's going to come next, right? I don't know exactly what is next. I just know what I want to be doing. And just, you know, as long as I keep doing this stuff, because I really enjoy it, that's what I hope comes next.
No, that's nice. I think that's a really cool thing that you want to do as well. It's I can't think of it better, to be honest. It'd be lovely to try and help people
Yes.
like that. Yeah, I think that's a lovely plan. What do you think? What do you really want to do with the Black Woman's Photography then? Have you got any sort of like events or anything you're going to try and aim towards?
I've been doing some programming. You know, I've been doing conversations. One of the programming things I've been doing has been in partnership with Adobe Lightroom.
Oh, wow.
And I've been hosting different like workshops and whatnot. So I want to definitely continue that. It was hard this month to program some things because the US elections. So the programming has slowed down for me this month, but hopefully we'll be able to pick it back up right in December. And then just continue that into the new year. You know, just whatever the community wants is hopefully I'll be able to provide, really, honestly. So just really listening to what makes sense and what the needs are, and just trying to, you know, fill those gaps, basically.
That's cool. Well, I hope it all works out. I think
Thank you.
obviously with your enthusiasm, I think you'll make it easily.
Thank you.
No, not a problem. So we're through the formal part now, Polly. What I want to do is do some of my random questions with you.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes, okay. Let's go for it.
So I'll start you with something very simple. What book would you recommend everyone reads?
Ooh. I think I have my sense of books range from like inspirational to just like weird and random. For me, I was going to tap in back into Maya Angelou's works just for that inspiration is one thing I was going to do. Also just, Toni Morrison, just like along those lines, is just people I'm just trying to read. Obama is having a book that's coming out, who hasn't already released, President Obama, former President Obama. I think that's one book I might be interested in reading. I don't know.
Yeah. That'd be interesting, actually.
Yeah, if it isn't like predictable, or I don't know, maybe just to read it from his perspective. I think that's one book I actually want to read that's coming out or is out. I'm not sure. So I guess that's what I have to offer in that.
I think that would be great because he must have had an interesting life to even make it.
Exactly, right?
I mean, crikey. The things he must have gone through, that, like we've said before, if you can't even get into photography, and here he is, probably one of the highest positions ever on the planet.
Yes.
And he did it, so, full credit to him. I think he was a great man. Okay, thank you for that one. So, the next James Bond should be a lady. Does that mean Miss Moneypenny should be a man?
Oh, is that really happening? I don't know. For me, it's like, I don't know. It's tricky because it's like, I understand the need for representation. I do. But then I also understand and appreciate classics. And to me, like, James Bond is such a classic. I don't know. I don't know what it looked like, with the roles reversed, so I'm not sure. For me, it's like I don't know, I found it fine, because there's other films that I find that representation in a sense, and so I don't know, I don't think it has to be that way, but I also I guess I understand why others may feel differently. I can see why people would want it that way, so.
No, I don't disagree with you. I think they could do both parts as male.
Yeah.
Because there's no reason why you don't have male secretaries. I've worked in an office, it's no problem.
Yeah.
But there's a couple of really good, smooth black male actors that me and my wife have always talked about. It's going to be brilliant for that. Because I think it takes a certain character, doesn't it?
Exactly. It's really, with that, it's like, and then it's just something that we've all, that's such an iconic role. It's like, if it's not broken, don't fix it. I feel like, I'm so tired of like all the remakes and remixes of these films. Like, I just like a good old classic personally film. So that's just how I feel.
No, I like that. No. It's your honest opinion. So, your next one. Do you still get birthdays in heaven?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know. I don't think so. Because I think we try to leave all our earthly things, like a birthday, behind.
I think you're right.
Otherwise, because, you're not supposed to, because then I'm like, am I like 205? It's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Although I like birthdays. I mean, I don't like celebrating my birthday. I like celebrating other people's birthdays because I just, but I like the day my birthday is on. Because my birthday is 7/7. And so I love saying
okay. No, yeah, I can see where you're coming from, actually. Yeah, it won't work. I'm the same. I love my daughter's birthday. I think it's ace. I love Christmas because it's the kids, the ace.
Yes.
It's different times. Okay. You've just entered the afterlife and you get to choose any animal and they will bond with you for eternity. What would you choose?
Can none be an answer?
None?
I don't know. I'm not an animal person.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay.
I don't know, because it's like eternity. Like,
It's a long time.
I'm gonna get tired of whatever animal or human, if I'm being honest. I don't know. But then as Ken, you don't want to be lonely. I don't know. I've never been.
You should have something that migrates.
Yes, you're right. Whichever one does that.
Yeah.
So, no.
Or nocturnal.
Yeah.
So, we've got a pet tortoise, so it goes to sleep for like 4 months.
Yes. Okay. I want that.
So, there you go. There's always an animal for you, isn't there?
Yeah.
Okay, so Shakespeare is immortalized for the quote, to be or not to be. What quote would you like to be remembered by?
Oh, that's good.
You've wrote so many words.
Yeah.
Do you have anything you say to people and don't realize?
I know, like now I'm thinking of like, what do I say all the time? I think one thing I often say, it's like we can all eat. Because I just feel like, again, you know, there's enough room for all of us in a sense. Audre Lorde, the writer, she has a lot of beautiful quotes that I turn to.
Yeah.
And one of them, let me make sure I'm saying this verbatim. She says, let me see if I can find it exactly. When she said, it's on joy. So she said, caring for myself is not self-indulgence. It is self-preservation. And that is an act of political warfare. It's just like one quote that I turn to because often times, especially, you know, here in the States, there's just the culture of just like the hustle culture, the culture of always working.
Yeah.
And, terrible. You know, people don't glamorize, you know, people glamorize that working culture so much that people just burn out and they don't talk about self-care and really what it means to rest and care for yourself and, you know, saying no.
And sleeping.
Boundaries. And so for me, it's just like anything that I can hear related to that, related to joy and, you know, taking care of yourself is quotes I try to live by. And just turn to where I can like have those reminders. So anything that I can say along those lines, and I you know if I ever say them to anyone, but not as eloquently, is just what I hope I can, you know, be remembered by. One way I can be remembered by.
That's really nice. And I think you're right. It's not a bad thing that you have to think of your own self and your, you know, your healthiness. I talk about this one of my other podcasts recently. We was on about this where we get enough sleep. We switch off, we go to bed, and we sleep for the amount of hours we need.
Mm-hmm.
Because the I'm fresh for a full day's work, and I'm fresh to play with my children and do this.
Exactly.
If one of them falls into the other, something is affected, isn't it?
Exactly. Mm. Yeah.
And I'm a big believer in separating it all like that. Because I've tried, beginning of COVID, I tried working extra time all the time. And I would leave, finish work, even though I was at home, I would finish late, I'd be mardy with my children, and I could tell my attitude. And it's like, this isn't actually helping me at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think you're quite spot on. So thank you for going through my silly questions. What I want to do is, if you tell everybody the best place to check out your work, that would be great.
Yes, thank you. Please feel free to connect with me personally at Polly Irungu. So that's at PollyIrungu and P as in Pat, not like, because every time I like go through somewhere, people always hear like me say Holly, and I'm like, I love all my Hollies out there, but my name is Polly. And, you know, please check out the community and the database. It's called Black Women Photographers, and you just can go to blackwomenphotographers.com. And if you're feeling, you know, spicy in any way, I set up a fun redirect called whitemenphotographers.com. So if you type in that, you can also spread the word that way.
Very good. Thank you for that. That's great to hear. I'll put these obviously in the show notes for everybody, so they can see that. And my final thing, Polly, is I do this pay it forward scheme. Do you have anyone's work you really admire? Could be someone completely different that would maybe come on to the show or you would like me to look at?
Yeah, I'm really, oh man, I mean, there's so many, like,
they're all quizzes, isn't there?
All 500 names, one of the folks that I'm really getting to know more, her name is Alexis Hunley. She's a Black queer female photographer based in LA, Los Angeles, California. And you know, she's been doing some incredible work, and you know, she's doing the freelance life, and she, I don't even know how she does it, but she still takes time to help others in the community because we're on Slack. And so she often Slacks advice, and you know, when someone has a question about like licensing and pricing, you know, she gives in her input whenever she can. So that's one for sure. There's another woman, her name is Rachel Sadu. She's one to watch. She's an emerging photographer based in Lagos, Nigeria.
Okay.
Who has been doing some incredible work as well. Most recently, you know, documenting the end SARS protests that were happening in Nigeria. But I just love like her aesthetic, and mm-hmm. and I really feel like, you know, sooner than later, she will blow up and I'll be able to say, I knew her. I was sharing her work first. Mm. It was in my database. I was spreading the word about Rachel before anyone else knew her name. And so, you know, I'm very excited to see where she can go, because it's truly only the beginning for her and even for Alexis. But, you know, she's much more on the emerging side. So I'm very excited to see her growth in such a short time.
Yeah, that'd be really good. Yeah, I appreciate that. If you can send me them over, that would be fantastic.
Yes,
yes. That's cool. Well, all I have to say is thank you so much, Polly. It's been wonderful to connect.
Thank you. It's been so fun.
That's good. I really do wish you all the best. I will be keeping watch on what's going on. So I'm looking forward to seeing what goes on.
Thank you.
And you have a wonderful Christmas. I hope you get your break.
Yes, I will. I already requested it. Oh. So I will get my break.
Oh, that's cool. And you take care. Okay.
Thank you, too.
Thanks a lot, Polly.
Bye. Bye.